Hey everybody, and welcome to Friday, June 27th, JumpCast, the only manga podcast to speed run our own recordings. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Robin Van Gilder.
Hello!
What's up?
Mike Lemieux left the podcast forever because no manga was ever going to be better than Naruto.
I still can't believe he called that.
It's a good thing he's not here, because he would be too smug about it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
we'll get to that when we get there. But
so Stealth Symphony's dead, huh?
Probably, yes. That and I, Shoujo are probably the ones that hit the X. We're getting three new series starting next week. And the third thing which is leaving is Soul Catchers is moving to Jump next.
Huh.
Which is kind of surprising, because that had been doing middling well for a while.
Eh, maybe the author wanted it.
I can see it, but
could be less pressure or something. I don't know.
I feel like Shonen Jump, like weekly Shonen Jump, is the big leagues.
It's the A-team. Yeah.
You go there and you're pretty much you've made it in terms of manga. Now you just need an anime, and then you need to coast on that for the next 30 years, like Toriyama did.
Yeah.
Speaking of anime, do we want to go into that?
Okay. Oh yeah, we don't have it this week, but
Assassination Classroom is getting an anime. It's going to be coming out in 2015.
And it's also getting a live-action movie.
Yes.
Which is going to be
I'm
weird.
Not sure how they're going to do that.
It's going to be like a CG Koro-sensei and then normal students.
Shooting your soft guns.
So basically, it's going to be weird.
Well, it's
going
to be shitty, like all live-action anime movies are. Except I hear the GTO movie's pretty good.
I heard that the Rurouni Kenshin movies are pretty good, too.
What was that, Robin?
I heard the Rurouni Kenshin movies were pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I had heard that as well, which isn't really surprising, because Japan's done good samurai movies for a long time.
Yeah, I mean.
I assume it stayed away from, like, the sort of cartoonish stuff of the anime.
But yeah, Death Note was not the best acted in the world, but it was pretty good.
It was better than the
anime. It was better because they changed the ending.
Yeah. And then actually, it was, like, campy bad. But when I wasn't watching it in one of those theaters that had the 3D lights on it, so everything was 75% darker than it should have been, the Gansu movies were actually not terrible.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. The second one totally went off the rails, and I mean, like, in a different way than the series eventually did. And, like, it was still dealing with good source material, so that's not necessarily a good thing, but as a self-contained story, it was all right.
I'm wondering who those live-action things appeal to. Like, is it just we have a subsection of people who are never going to watch an anime? So
I guess, yeah.
We might as well make a live-action. Like, they kind of do with stuff here. Like, well, we'll just make a Scooby-Doo movie. Why not? Well,
who the heck ever goes to, like, the Bleach musical and, you know, that sort of stuff?
Super nerds.
Yeah.
Or otaku. I'm sorry.
So, yes, for the new series that are going to be coming, the one that starts 3 weeks from now, I can't find anything about the guy, so it looks like his first one. The one 2 weeks from now is by somebody named Ryo Ishiyama, who has done one series before that didn't last for any significant length of time, but it was seinen, not shonen.
Yeah.
I can't find anything about that series other than it exists.
What's it called?
Jietai Nurse.
Okay.
Yeah. It was searching for that caused me to find a gate, because the Jietai is part of that title as well. Oh, wait, here we go. I found something. Yeah, I don't know. And then next week, we're getting a new series from Kohei Horikoshi, the wonderful person who brought us Sensei No Bulge.
So
he's getting a new series starting next week.
He's back on that horse, huh?
Oh, man. Yep. So are we going to cover this one, too, so it dies?
Boku no Hero Academia.
It sounds like a cool concept. It's a school of superheroes.
Although, I don't know, last time we got something like that, it also got canceled, so.
That was
Takamagahara.
Takamagahara.
There you go. It's combining Mike's two favorite, his favorite and his least favorite.
Those are the first two tragedies of Jumpcast, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
I don't know. I really liked where Barrage was going.
I liked its concept. but
yeah, it kind of it had potential, but it never really had the chance to get anywhere. Takamagahara was going somewhere, and it was awesome. And it's a
it's travesty. Art style just killed that thing right from the outset.
The barrage caveat is if that was his actual plot twist he intended to go with from the beginning, and just had to rush to it.
That was super.
Like the Shadow Clone baby, if that was a thing he was gonna do, then that would have just that would have tanked that manga.
Guess that is totally not like.
I think he, yeah, he just came up with that.
Who knows?
Like, oh god, I have to end this in two chapters. Here we go.
And yeah, it looks like it's a story set in the modern day, but the general population have special powers to the point where it's a staple part of humanity. The primary kid doesn't have powers, despite hoping one day he will.
Ah, I see.
So yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah,
In the high school full of superheroes.
Right.
All right. So we're done with house cleaning. Is the non-stealth symphony one still alive? Whatever the one that was called? Illegal rare.
Illegal rare. We don't know. They haven't actually said such and such is ending. It's just that next week Soul Catchers is moving to Jump Next. So we'll find out what the first one killed is next week and the second one the week after.
I really liked Illegal Rare, but nobody is scanlating it anymore, so I don't know
I like the art style, and I kind of like the concept, but the execution just seemed kind of flimsy. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's like, he didn't really have a very good grasp on how to do fight scenes, was the problem. Yeah.
Just throw your nails at things.
That was one of the things that Nora did so well.
Yeah, I don't know. He hadn't figured out the thing for it yet.
That's something that even, like, really good mangakas rarely get right. Like, it took Beelzebub a long time to figure out fight scenes.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, it took Naruto a pretty long time, too.
And Bleach never figured it out. Speaking of Bleach!
Yeah, so...
Speaking where we left it... In a fight scene where people are standing opposite one another.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the, Ikkaku... What was his name? Kuchikiya? No.
What?
Kaku's friend. With the hair.
Muchika,
there we go.
Yeah.
Byakuya, Ichigo with a number on his face. Renji.
I used to know that guy's name because I played him in the fighting game a lot. I don't know. I didn't recognize that as Byakuya at first because of that hat.
Yeah.
At this point, we're doing this on purpose just to drive Mike nuts when he's listening.
Yeah.
Also, we'll point out that Byakuya totally has different clothes, and yet he did not unlock any gates.
Well, I really do. I think that it's because Ichigo just had to rush and went down the middle of the path instead of walking around the edge, and that's why all the barriers are broken. And Juhabak just knew that he would, and so
somehow
planned around it.
So that's why he attacked now when he said that he was going to be attacking in 7 days.
Or right, because he needed Ichigo to be impatient and rush down.
That's but still, still wait for his time for his clothes to get made, in case. So they're standing there opposite Busby and the hot Nazis and Busby's other few people.
So Busby
including
complains
the checkerboard
that there's too many of them.
And the old guy.
Yeah.
I think those are the other ones.
So Busby's counting and he says there's too many people on that side counting Ichigo. Right.
And so, you know, he checks to see if any of the other people are part of the special war forces and gets a negative answer, so he just goes to kill them all.
And then Ikkaku just slams him down. Or attempts to hit him and barely misses.
Yeah.
And Busby then tries to... I guess he has a crossbow now?
I guess.
Like, I don't know where that came from.
Remembered that they have bows, apparently.
But he has a blasting finger. Like, wasn't that his thing?
It was, but now he has a bow because Kubo remembered that they're supposed to have bows.
I guess it's to give Rukia something to freeze, because then she freezes it. Which has clearly never happened to Busby before and will debilitate him for the rest of the fight.
Totally. Well, but this is cold, not ice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even though it's clearly ice.
Yes.
So they say they're not going to let Busby pass, and they're not going anywhere until he's dead. So he just shakes off the ice.
Super Saiyan.
Yeah. And then everyone clashes.
Wings. Yeah.
And then it just cuts away from this, because it might be kind of interesting, to Ichigo storming up Juhabak's
basically tower. Exactly the same place he was last chapter.
Yes.
Maybe like 100 feet closer.
And then a giant arrow is shot down at Ichigo and he knocks it aside. And gasp, who did it come from?
It's Ishida.
It's Ishida.
I totally forgot that Ichigo didn't know Ishida was up there.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you'd think he would have figured it out, but I don't know.
So Ichigo's really surprised about this. Ichigo's like, hey, why don't you leave? This is not something you can probably do. You know, go away. So basically, we can all tell already through dramatic irony that Ishida plans to kill Juha Bak himself.
Yeah,
obviously. And doesn't think Ichigo can do it. But he doesn't say this because that would tip his hand, even though Juha Bak already knows Ishida doesn't believe him.
Yeah, right. And is, like, trying to kill him and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So they start to fight, and then Chad and Inoue, Norihime, show up out of a hole in the sky.
I don't, like, I read this chapter twice.
Me too.
I don't know what
I was like, wait, what, did they miss a page again, or what? Like,
they just,
but no.
They literally just portal in, and it's Ishida, or...
There's
like,
a hole in the sky.
I'm surprised
she
can remember, you know, her name given her new outfit, which has a conveniently placed boob window.
Yeah,
like that
she stole
is the
outfit
that she
from that the shark lady.
So my favorite part of this is that Orihime and Chad are there, and they react to Ishida being standing with Juha Bak. I don't know how they figured out the situation immediately.
Well,
but...
I don't know. They just show up for literally like three panels, and then we go back to Ishida and Juha Bak and. They're just gonna leave.
My favorite part is Orihime reacts and Chad is just sitting there like nothing.
Yeah.
So, I also like how they obviously came through the like Gargantara or whatever they are from Hueco-Mundo, and yet we don't see Grimjaw or any of the other people.
Right. It's just them. Because they've obviously been having these awesome adventures, fighting against the Nazis down there in Hueco-Mundo, and they led a raid and rescued what's-her-name, and...
Why didn't they come back with Urahara? Why are they coming back now?
I don't know. And they, like, teleported right in front of them, but they're just, like, standing in the middle of the air?
So you know what this reminded me of immediately, as, like, everyone had this reaction shot to Ishida, was that that Bleach gif that's been floating around since, like, 2006 of Renji saying Rukia's execution has been moved up, and then, like, 30 people, like, reacting to it.
Yes.
Oh, that was so great. The time of Rukia's execution got changed because fan subs.
Gasp. So Bok tells, Ryu that they need to go, and this is the last chance he'll ever have to say goodbye. Spoiler, it's not the last chance.
Yeah, and then they just start floating up, and Ichigo just stands there like a chump.
Even though Ichigo can fly, and apparently now they can fly.
He forgot how to use the flash step, apparently.
But
remember
he flew
when he
here.
Used that to go like miles and miles in the blink of an eye?
Well, no, obviously he was just jumping across the, the roofs of the buildings. He was just jumping really far.
So, on one hand, this feels rushed. On the other hand, I'm surprised they're only now getting to it.
Yeah, I know.
Like, this whole thing, like, this Ishido-Ichigo rivalry is, like, the center of this arc, but they only just...
They haven't
just,
seen each other
they just
haven't
realized it. And, like, maybe Ishido should have said something to Ichigo or anybody. Like, by the way, it's gonna look like I'm super evil, but I'm not. So, don't attack me.
Yeah, I just, like, I know that this is starting to feel like Bleach is damned if it does and damned if it doesn't, but, like, they need to move along the plot, and yet this is the least interesting thing that they could have focused on this chapter.
There is definitely a way to chart a middle ground that's good pacing, that's also good development.
Right, there's a way between, like, spending two chapters on every single fight between every single person and just, like, skipping over all of the fights and going to this boring plot stuff.
Or just, you know, sort of alluding to things and then just dropping them completely, like the whole Kenpachi Yachiru thing that has not come up yet, even though he technically is probably still there.
Right, he's like laying on the ground at one of those buildings, I guess.
Well, everyone fights above him.
Yeah.
Just sort of thinking about life.
Yeah.
Looking at clouds. Really, like, this chapter itself isn't, like, super fucking bad or anything. It's the Orihime-Chad thing that, like, really, like, what?
Yeah, it's just kind of, like, out of nowhere.
Like, they have an entire two panels dedicated to them. One of them is them popping in from a portal. The other one is Orihime reacting, and that's it.
There is one other panel that's Orihime's shield thing protecting Ichigo from Ishida's arrows.
I guess.
Really? I didn't guess. That's what it is. The arrows are coming down at him, and then there's that, you know, she's rejecting those arrows.
I thought that was just him throwing a Getsuga Tensho to knock them away, but I guess that's
That's why her hands are up in the next panel.
So they popped in off-panel.
Yeah, and then, you know, regardless of the fact that, you know, she's not using her barrettes or whatever the hell those things are supposed to be at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Also, can they fly?
Sure. Apparently. Why not?
They're kind of floating up there.
Yeah, they are.
Of course, they're Fullbringers, and they can totally, or whatever.
Why doesn't
she... Remember when her powers were like some little fairy things that lived in her barrettes? And they had, like, names and personalities and stuff.
Maybe they weren't as marketable as they thought.
They didn't focus test well.
So, I think I would have loved it more if, like, immediately after coming out, Chad takes a punch at Juha Bok and his arm gets ripped off.
I could have lived with that. I could totally have lived with that.
Oh, yeah. That would be great.
I think just the stock art of Chad that he's, like, Photoshop layered behind Orihime is not very interesting.
Yeah. He has a new shirt. That's something.
Yeah. Well, like, apparently they got new clothes
and stuff like that that they have in Hueco Mundo.
Yeah, they went to the special Hollow Tailors that live in, I don't know, double extra hell or whatever it is that's below Hueco Mundo.
Turns out they're actually wearing right now.
If you gave Juha Bok a suit made out of hollow bones, wouldn't he die?
Maybe?
I guess. Like, there was that one Quincy that, like, merged with Hollows, even though
poison.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, I never bothered to explain that.
I don't understand what the fan translation is doing here with the Yawak thing.
That's what it actually is.
Okay.
It was on, like, the cover or something in English one time.
So
and that's how it's actually spelled.
They messed it up the first time with Bok?
Yeah. Because it's spelled...
No, like, that is the entire thing. That is Juha Bok. Like,
okay.
It's Juha Baha in Japanese. Or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to continue saying Juha Bok because it's a whole lot easier to pronounce.
Yeah, I'm not going to try that.
Yuwak. Yeah, it's Ewok. Just written as Juha Baha.
There we go. He is Japanese, now Ewok. So.
It doesn't.
So, he's flying up to Endor, and I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know. If this weren't Bleach, I would think this would be like a massive sprint to the finish line.
Right, but because it's Bleach, we know it's going to take at least another year.
There's going to be like 10 fights on the way up.
Yeah.
It's going to turn out like the Soul King was actually Aizen.
The Soul King was actually evil the whole time.
Yep. Well, I mean, we figured that.
Well, I mean, he is keeping people in ghost poverty, so.
So I'm betting Ishida is going to take a shot at Juha Bok and realize that he can't kill him.
And then they're going
to come back to Team Good.
Well, first he's going to fight Ichigo some more, and then he's going to seemingly defeat Ichigo, and then he's going to try to kill Bok.
This what just occurred satisfies the whole, what's it called?
The betrayal?
Satisfies the two of them fighting.
No, oh, no. I think they're gonna have a legit fight. Like, Kubotide is obsessed with that idea.
Yeah, I mean, there's gonna be like dozens and dozens of panels that are entirely white and entirely black. We have to get that in.
Yeah. All right. I feel like we're gonna portal out of this chapter and onto Nisekoi.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Well, last week we left it where they were all playing the King's game, and Yui has the King's straw.
Or and she tells two of the numbers to tell her who they like. So I guess I called that.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Because she figures, like, unless it's Miyamoto or Shu, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll have to admit rockers. So, of course, it's Shu.
It's Shu.
And Shu admits he likes Yui and everyone else.
Also, everyone else except Miyamoto.
Which is kind of like saying in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I liked how, like, even though she said you have to tell her, they're going out and telling everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason.
She's trying to move the story along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Marika tries to go out and say who she is, but or who she likes, but everyone just ignores her and moves on.
Yep. Yeah, because Marika's the other one.
So then the doorbell rings, and Raka goes to answer it, and it turns out the next set of people are there.
Yes, it's yeah. Haru.
And
who? It's a good thing Mike isn't here this week.
And Paula. So they followed Onodera, who ran off at a moment's notice. So I guess she was at home.
Yeah.
And she did take Miyamoto with her. And they established before Raku comes to enter the door that Haru is really into Japanese stuff. Like old school Japanese stuff.
Yeah.
So when Raku comes out wearing a kimono, this is basically like arouses her girl boner.
Yeah, like this yeah. is porn for her.
Yeah. And Raku treats it so casually. Like, oh, yeah, this is just what I wear.
Isn't that kind of like just... I'm assuming that in their society that is abnormal to do.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
We've never seen it from anyone else, but again, Rock is also part of the Yakuza.
Yeah. He does live in a big fancy mansion, so.
Yeah. And his father is pretty traditionalist, so.
Yeah.
So she fangirl squeeze about him and, like, has an existential crisis about how she was supposed to give up on Raku, but this is making it really difficult.
And then Fu just laughs at her, which is kind of fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Paula's there for some yeah. reason.
Well, she's there to keep an eye on Tsugumi.
Right.
So Yui immediately perceives what's going on and decides to fuck with him further.
Yeah, I like how at this point she's, like, getting into this just to mess with them.
And they all... Yeah. They agree to play more King's Game, and Haru and Fu crack a plan where one sits next to Raku and the other sits next to Onodera, and they try to figure out a way to, if one of them becomes the king, to make the Onodera and Raku do things.
Yes. Yeah. Although, of course, Fu is actually supporting Haru, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually think Fu is a good wrinkle to this dynamic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So...
And, you know, since she has the other key...
So Fu is the first king, and she is able to figure out between very obvious hand signals with Haru.
They play yes, charades.
I like the panels of them like pantomiming gestures, different numbers, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And they have Fu, their own language.
Fu also finds out which one Haru is, so she arranges Raku to embrace Haru from behind for 10 seconds. And then plays dumb when Haru reacts.
So then, you know, he gives her a hug and she goes comatose with Which PlayStation is, symbols and...
Yeah.
I feel like this is super weird for everybody. Like, yeah. Go embrace this yeah. underage girl.
Pretty much.
In your kimono. If you feel something behind you, don't worry.
And then Paula ends up getting to be king and demands that everyone brings her candy.
Paul is the best character.
Yes, definitely.
So, it gets pointed out that it's really late, and everyone should may probably go home.
You know,
and
even though they just, you know, had lunch and then sat down for this game.
Yeah.
Well,
they must have played
the
game for a while.
Played it for a while, yeah.
So they all agree that they're going to be staying overnight.
Yes, they cannot
none of them want
leave
to
him
leave,
alone.
Raku alone with Yui.
Yeah.
And Yui decides to make more gyoza. So they've apparently been playing like Uno and regular cards.
She's got hit on the head a bunch, and
everybody's
asleep.
You know, crashing except for the two hosts who are, you know, cleaning up a little bit.
I like that Raku put a blanket over Chitoge. I guess I assume it's Raku anyway.
Yeah, probably.
I also like that Shu is not really asleep. He's unconscious and, like, blood splatter with a bunch of pain lumps on his head.
Yeah.
I did not notice that. It also looks like he was drawing out somebody's name or something like that with his finger.
Yeah, that's something that didn't translate, so I had no idea.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like you can see it.
Oh, wait, no, that's a sound effect over it.
Yeah, that's a sound effect.
He still has one finger out that's dragging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Yui points out that Raku is really popular. And has a bunch of girls staying over at his house late at night.
And it shows that they trust him.
And Yui was worried that everyone changed over the last 10 years, and she hasn't had anyone to play with and be friends
with.
Yeah,
she hasn't really had any friends, because she's been so far ahead in school and stuff. But and it turns out, nobody has changed.
Yeah. Shitoge overhears the conversation, and hears Yui, like, praising Raku for keeping everyone connected. So this is pretty much outright calling my Raku universe theory. I feel like it's more or less confirmed now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which aspect of it?
All of it. That Raku is the center of the universe. Without him, everything would fall apart. So Yui offers to take a bath with Raku.
And suddenly everyone wakes up.
Well, Marika wakes up and, like, she's not even fully conscious of why.
And of course, Shitoge was freaking out at hearing the same thing, too.
Yeah. So she says, we're going to play games all night. And in the morning, everyone's, like, passed out when the Yakuza step in.
Which, you know, is a whole lot better than they were expecting to walk in on two of them together, but now it's Raku with, you know, how many girls? And one other guy?
Quite a few.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no one knows Sakumi's female, so there's that.
That's true.
Fair point.
So yeah, there was a funny chapter. No movement whatsoever, but...
Yeah, it was a fun little arc.
I think Yui's going to step aside.
Yeah.
I think she's moving it towards, like, well, I prefer to be with Raku, but I think he prefer to be with someone else.
You know what these two chapters are? They're totally going to be like an OVA of the anime.
Well, I mean, they're already doing that Hot Spring episode, so...
Right, so...
Because that
and they'll put in a bunch more jokes
critical.
And stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you know why that was made. So. Yeah. Just for the animation.
Anyway, then the Yakuza come home and the house is all trashed. And
Raku and his wild parties.
Yep. Oh, that Raku.
So yeah, Nisekoi. Yeah. Nothing really to say about it.
Yep, it was okay.
Yeah, just trying to think. I'm not sure what the next arc's going to be, so.
I think it's going to involve Yui again. I think they're going to drive her hard until she eventually makes her exit.
Until people get sick of her.
Well, I don't think that's a barrier for Nisekoi, but
I don't know. I think we've kind of hit the same point when they started backing up Haru a little bit. Although Yui's a lot more enjoyable than Haru was, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I really think
she's,
like,
trolling everyone else.
If they're going to continue with this, I'm going to wonder whether Shitoge is going to specifically talk to Yui, like, about what she was talking about from when they were kids and how she missed him and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it could be.
Or she might ask for the answer to the locket, and then she's not going to want to know, because you would be like, are you sure you want to know, even if it's not you? She'd be like, no, I want to keep this mystery going forever, because manga.
Yeah. It's better not knowing, and she smiles and looks up at the stars, and then that's the end. You know. That's
all right. Soma.
Soma.
Soma. So, well, I forgot this guy's name. Hayama Akira.
Hayama. Yes.
He has made his, what would you call it?
It's a gyro.
Chili burger.
It's a gyro. It's not a hamburger.
It's a burger. No, it's the theme is burgers.
That's not a burger.
The word has totally slipped my mind.
It's a...
Our doner meat.
Oh, yeah. Doner kebab.
In a burger. Like, there's a patty in there. It's just covered with
meat.
It's
pita bread.
I mean, yeah, it's a weird burger.
It's not
the
a burger.
The theme is burgers. He was not disqualified, therefore it is a burger.
So I like that the judges have become literally, like, slaves to this stuff. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's basically full on, well, it's not quite yakitate at this point, but it's like, getting there.
They're like 80-year-old guys that have seemingly lost all objectivity with the...
Like,
they just love whatever the last thing was.
Yeah, and they've been eating all day. It's like, I need that, only that. So he comes in, and she, like, what's her name? Arasato? Was that?
Huh?
Hisako.
Oh, Hisako. Yeah.
She's kind of bitchy about this. Like, this won't work. That's not even a hamburger. It's gonna be.
And also the entire, like, oh, but it's just smell. It's not gonna actually, like, that much in the way.
That's just deception.
It's just meat. So you can tell by how much of a bitch she's being that she's going to lose already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And all the judges basically, like, go into some sort of, like, food
trance.
Fugue state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And eat
the
so burger.
Fast they didn't realize.
And the audience gasps.
And there's a lot of explanation of food stuff here that's kind of nonsensical.
Yeah.
Yeah, like talking
about covering up the taste
bun.
With other aromas.
This is the patty, and
like hidden pickles and
yeah, well, and like I love you saying, but the other important part of the burger is the pickles, and I'm like, I don't like pickles on my burger.
Yeah, same here.
It depends. Like the mass-produced pickles, no. If they're like freshly sliced, I like them.
Yeah, or I like it when it's like sweet pickle relish or something like that. It's the dill pickles I don't like.
Yeah, so, I don't mind relish, but having a whole pickle on there, I don't really like.
Yeah.
So anyway. Basically, Hayami Akira managed to take everything bad about the burger and make it good.
Yes. Through the magic of seasoning.
And basically, that's his thing, because he's a curry guy, so he managed to make, like, a really good burger with aroma control.
Yes, and so, you know, his potential may be close to that of the god's tongue.
Yeah, he does a totally JoJo pose. Like, I like to imagine him just doing that and holding it, like, in front of the judges.
Yeah. I also like how, you know, he was basically saying, like, there's no way he would lose to someone who was aiming to be second place.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, they basically call out Arato's limits there.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to be the best person, the best cook in the world. She wants to be the person behind the person.
She wants to be the assistant.
We see her Gamora outfit being blasted off of her in probably the most pornish panel that there's been in the series.
Let's talk about how this got in the Shonen Jump.
I don't know. There were some pretty pornish panels way early on. But
like, yeah, but this one's...
This is skirting a line.
That's true.
Like, you can almost pretty clearly make out a vagina there. Like, I'm shocked this got past editors.
Yeah, like, apparently in older Shonen Jump, they regularly had some degree of nudity and whatnot, but...
Not in the last 10 years.
Well, you see it in JoJo and stuff sometimes, but yeah. Or Fist of the North.
Obviously, the artist was just getting bored because, you know, he wanted to go back to his old line of work.
I bet that, like, they let him... Or they know that's part of the appeal of this manga.
Yeah, totally. I mean... This manga is basically about cooking and fan service, and he's been doing all the other kinds of fan service lately, so he had to go back to this one.
Like, I bet they have a deal with him, like, every 5 issue, just, you know, do one of those things.
Yeah, just go ahead, fine.
Go crazy.
I like how, before this chapter came out, there were spoiler images of that panel, and they pixelated the areas around it, and it made it look even worse.
Oh, God.
Just because it was pixelated, it made it look even dirtier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, I also like how in the background, the chief judge's clothing is getting exploded off, too.
Oh, yeah.
And he immediately declares Hayama the winner.
Yeah, I like how there's no waiting around this time. It's just same chapter. Yep, he won.
Well, like he's like, well, that previous thing was a piece of shit, so...
Yeah.
Hayama definitely wins. Like, how are you my granddaughter's assistant? You are garbage.
So anyway, cuts back to the waiting room.
Right.
So she does not get bitched out by Arena that we see.
No, not yet.
But I'm sure she does eventually.
Yeah.
Then it cuts to Megumi and Yukihara in the back room. And Aizen? He totally looks like Aizen. If you arrange the letters in his name differently, there is totally... Aizen just teleported into this manga.
Hair's a little lighter, but anyway, he kicks them out because everyone but the contestants has to move to the guest seats.
Yeah.
And then Italian guy, whose name I don't remember, says he's going to settle the score with Yukihara over that one match that
they
Japanese...
did on the first day, and,
yeah.
You know,
he says, oh yeah, we met on the bus again. And Soma just is not taking this seriously still.
Yeah.
And then Soma stops him and then like gives him the anime rivalry challenge that makes him feel better.
Right. Give him a little bit of that shonen stuff there.
And they decide to go out they have to go back to the audience seats. And Megumi comments that, like, isn't it sort of crazy that, like, Subaru was, you know, saying, or he knew who was going to win immediately.
Yeah.
And Aizen was like, well, yeah, that guy has an outstanding talent. He is incredibly valuable.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's able to analyze and predict things very well.
Yeah.
So then it cuts to...
Oriented.
Italian chef, noticing Subaru has his hands on his that single blade he uses, that two-handed blade.
Yeah.
He's like, you're taking good care of it, but why don't we talk about your shitty brother?
Yep, basically just tries to get under his skin by insulting his brother as a second-rate cook. Like, why do you even bring him along here?
And it seemingly works, because he gets really mad.
Yeah.
And he says, well, we finally have an odd number of judges, which I'm not...
I guess they tied last time? I don't remember. When did this, the detail guy show up before?
Like, the very, very end, and all his cooking was done off-screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We hadn't seen him prior to this. So, were they in the same group or something? Well, no, because I thought that he won his group, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's backstory, and we'll find out next time.
Like, I think it said he showed up late and then, like, did his cooking while everyone else was watching somebody else.
Yeah, so what is up with that one panel where it shows the two-handed blade with, like, something sitting on it?
Like a piece of meat or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, sort of a thing where he is this great blade that's getting dulled by his incompetent brother or something. I don't know. It's supposed to be a visual metaphor for something, but I'm not sure what.
Like, if I could tell what that thing was, that would be clear.
I was wondering whether it was supposed to be that, like, he went and punched Subaru, and that was, you know... But I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
But, yeah, it gets under his skin to talk about his incompetent brother.
Yeah.
And Subaru looks really evil in that last panel.
I thought he was supposed to be, like, a nice guy, and...
Well, I think it's just doing this thing that this manga does a lot that I really like, where it, like, makes it look like people are being, like, super shonen cliches, but then kind of backs off on it.
I mean,
almost immediately.
I don't know that there's a way to present him trying, like, I guess it's supposed to be that he's so smart he knows everybody's weak spots.
Right, so he's just trying to get under his skin.
But there's not probably a nice guy way to be like, your brother's a piece of shit.
Right, well... He's not a nice guy, but he's not, like, a villain.
Yeah, he's just trying to win.
Yeah.
He is a villain for a, you know, high school sort of thing.
Right, it's like everyone in this manga actually has a sense of, like, the stakes that are here, and they're not actually that high.
Yes, and his name is Takumi, like, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Takumi.
Takumi, yeah.
And this manga actually does have sort of a problem establishing villains.
Yeah, that's true, because... There aren't any.
Yeah, it's basically Irina and that's it. And the only reason she's a villain is because she's in a position of power, but we already know Yukihara is better than her.
Yeah.
So, like, if it came down to a straight one-on-one match, he would win.
Right.
But it'll never happen because she's already, like, high up in the school.
Right.
And that's the only villain they have. And she's not even like a, you know, she has no evil machinations. She's just a jerk.
Yeah,
she's just kind of like, oh, I don't want him to get into the school, therefore... villain.
Right. Like, I wonder if that's a problem, like, something they've noticed and have a problem with, like, well, we can't introduce someone that has, like, there's real stakes involved in this, because at worst it's going to be this person advances in cooking reputation and this one doesn't.
Well, I guess that's kind of what Dark Soma, what's that guy's name? I can never remember. Ryoma?
Ryo?
Yeah, Ryo. He's kind of a villain.
I mean, is he? He's kind of an asshole, I guess.
He uses, like, he has violence in the kitchen, and he, you know.
But no one thinks it's a bad thing. Everyone thinks, like, oh, that's totally a valid cooking style.
Well, I guess it's just, I don't think there's ever going to be, like, a villain who's, like, wants to destroy the world of cooking or anything like that. We're not going to get to a Yakitate thing where there's, like, a god of cooking and everyone is getting killed by him or anything like that.
Well, what I imagine is going to happen,
sure,
there's eventually going to be, like, a rival school.
The villain will be, like, corporations who want to make everything McDonald-ized.
I guess that means that the only real villain we've had was, like, the fried chicken place in that side arc.
She was totally a villain because she wasn't, like...
Well, there was the teacher who wanted to kick them out of school.
Oh, yeah, that's true, I guess. But I feel like now that they're kind of established and are past the opening ceremony stuff and the training camp, there's not really any risk of them getting fully kicked out of school.
Yeah.
So they have to come up with some other stakes.
I mean, the problem is, like, I don't really see Yukihara losing in a way that, like, really, I don't know.
Well, no, I mean...
It makes it feel dangerous for him to be in the thing.
I don't know. I could totally see that because... I feel like the last time we saw him lose, we saw how badly he takes it.
Well, he lost to one where he wasn't the cook, and he lost to another which was his dad, which is like the super cook.
Yeah, that's true.
But... And the other times he's like danced over everybody else.
Obviously, there's going to have to be like some sort of time where the person makes, you know, they taste one another's dishes, but he's poisoned his dish or something like that.
No, I think it's going to be the thing where he has like all this pride and then he fully loses to someone, is just like destroyed, and then has a big training arc and learns to do better and that sort of thing. That's usually how it goes in these sorts of manga where the main character is like this super genius who's already great at something. But I don't know.
Maybe. I guess like angst doesn't seem like a big part of his character. It's a tough balance, but especially when you have a very popular manga, you don't know what to change with the story and the characters that might just make the whole bottom drop out.
Yeah, that's true. I guess he is just kind of searching around for what to do now, but this tournament arc is, you know, provides a nice stable foundation.
It does feel like it's biding time a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, before I forget, like, Mike was telling me, I'm still catching up on Kenichi, but he was telling me that his latest chapter, so there's the big reveal a while back was that Miu's father was the head of the evil organization.
Oh, yeah, and, I mean, that was super obvious even back when I was reading it.
Yeah, like, everyone knew it, and that was the main thing. So she's fighting him, and she's fighting him with, like, a CIA guy watching, and as the evil guy, or her father, takes a goes for the killing blow, the CIA guy steps in and punches him in the face, and then it reveals that he's wearing a mask and he's actually the evil CIA guy, and the CIA guy on Miu's side was actually her father, who's been good the entire time.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I feel like what I'm saying is we need to start covering Kenichi because,
for
Bleach's sake.
Oh no, we can't cover Kenichi. I mean, look, dude, if you thought the fan service in Soma was bad this week, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Kenichi, like, at some point they just never stopped even caring. Like, yeah, this character just never wears panties, so.
Yeah, it's like every single fight, no matter, like, even if it's like two women fighting each other, all of their clothes are coming off.
Yeah.
Like, almost immediately. There was, like, one point where, like, a girl came in and she was wearing, like, full knight armor and wielding a halberd, and even it all got knocked off.
That's pretty impressive. The arc I'm reading was Miu gets captured and brainwashed, and the guy who brainwashed her just never has her wear pants.
Well, of course. Ugh, God. I mean, I really liked, like, the first couple hundred chapters of that. It's really good. But then at a certain point, the dude just, like, stops
caring.
Giving a shit. Yeah.
It got lost in its own fan service.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Naruto.
Yes.
So Naruto referenced last week that technique.
That technique.
And he's trying to convince Sasuke that, yeah, we really got to try it.
We got to use that technique.
And Black Setsu's like, you know, anything you're going to do doesn't work against Kaguya, right?
Yeah.
She's already absorbed every known jutsu.
Yeah, she's the father or the mother of all chakras, so she can absorb anything.
So clone Naruto that's holding up Sakura, Kakashi, and Obito is explaining what's going on, which I feel like I'm pretty sure is contradictory to the way they explained clones before.
Yeah. Like,
they said, like, the clones are independent up until they disappear, then all those memories come back.
Right.
Yeah, that's how they explained it previously, but we have also had, like, memory-linking chakra stuff this arc already, so maybe Naruto's doing that with himself.
Yeah, maybe figured it. Well,
I
but that was all,
I am perfectly willing to hand-wave that.
That was all, what's her name? Sakura's rival. Who was
Ino.
That? Ino. That was all her doing, because she has the mind
powers.
Well,
no, but remember when Naruto went and high-fived everybody and whatnot?
Oh,
and
yeah,
was, like,
that's right.
He was, like, it was fist-bumping. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, and, I wonder if Ino can still see this stuff. It's like totally freaking out.
Well, she's asleep, isn't she?
Hell yeah, she's inside the tree.
Things.
Yeah.
So Kakashi starts wondering, like, what the hell can Naruto and Sasuke possibly do against a god?
What can they possibly do?
So Sakura asks, like, what are you going to do? Like, how do you plan to fight that? And Naruto's like, well, we might die, but we're going to try. And while he's doing this, he's healing Obito.
Right, and then Naruto, they go back, and Naruto is still trying to convince Sasuke to use that technique. He says he's been practicing
like,
it.
Are you serious? He's like,
he's
I've been
practicing,
practicing
it
this. Yeah.
Over
even
and
more
over.
Than Rasengan.
Even more, yeah. Which,
so yeah. Sasuke reluctantly agrees.
So basically, so, Sasuke's agreeing to attack while Naruto does his thing. And then
that technique.
That technique.
And at some point, like, I guess Sakura and Kakashi can see this now?
Well, they are just like standing pretty close or floating.
But they were getting reports from Naruto earlier. And they were inside the volcano, so I guess Naruto moved them out?
I guess. Yeah.
So Naruto Kagebushins, and then you get a close-up on Kaguya's eyes, and then you see the reverse harem no jutsu.
Yes.
A Kagebushin, or a sexy no jutsu with Kagebushins and all men.
And all being, like, terribly sexy and happy and reaching out to embrace her.
Yes. And Kaguya's face in the panel below is, like, the best thing to me ever.
She is actually shocked.
It's like, what? And then Sakura's is right next to it and is even more what?
And Sakura points out, like, why would that work on Kaguya? It would work on her, but not on a god.
Yeah, and I like Naruto's thing. There's been this trend forming that the stronger someone is, the more these techniques seem to work.
I'm guessing he learned that from Jiraiya.
Yeah,
well, there was that. He also got the third with it really early in the series and that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's the ones who are definitely not expecting that sort of thing that seems to work on.
And then
so
another,
anyway,
it actually works.
All the other
and
ones
Naruto
and punches her.
Punches her in the face. And she goes flying.
And he points out that's the real history of the ninjas.
Is sexy no jutsu.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then they do the try to do the seal high five, and Kakashi thinks back like, "Well, this is totally Jiraiya's student, huh?"
Yeah. No one else would do that.
I like how in this part, Jiraiya says, "After all, Konoha's way of the ninja has a tendency to imitate its roots." He's basically saying, "You know, isn't it weird how this town has so many fucking parallels?"
Yeah.
Yep.
It totally is.
So they're going in for the high five, and then all of a sudden, frozen in a block of ice.
Yeah.
Yep.
The so, Final Fantasy, you know, boss has changed.
Obviously, he has been watching Avatar: The Last Airbender, and
yeah.
So she has teleported them to an ice world.
Yes.
But
and
it
frozen
also
Naruto and Sasuke.
It also took the others as well.
Yeah. Right. But they're so not like, trapped in ice. Just
the world has changed around them.
Yeah, she isn't really teleported. I guess she just sort of, you know, change the world
somewhere.
Yeah,
well, no, I think they well, it's not entirely clear, but then she does teleport.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, actually I'm pretty sure they're on the other side of that mountain, because look at that the full page shot. Like, I'm pretty sure that house is on the volcano, wasn't it?
No, there wasn't anything on the volcano.
No,
I'm
there
positive
was.
There was, yeah.
There was a house on the volcano. There was definitely a house on the volcano.
Oh, huh.
So maybe for some reason the world is separated in like ice and fire?
So this is where the two admirals fought it out?
Yeah, totally. Yes.
There's probably a dragon around here somewhere.
Yeah, some giant slime monster.
So Sakura initially thinks it's Naruto's jutsu, but he's like, no? Maybe?
No, it's not an illusion, so...
And they're acting like she's made a genjutsu real, and that's like a totally weird thing that no one understands.
Yeah, or that she like is rewriting the entire world around them, which is even weirder.
So yeah. Sasuke uses eye hacks and gets them out of there.
Right.
Yeah, after she was putting some like Zetsu stuff into there in order to absorb their chakra or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Sasuke decides he's going to come up with a plan. And Zetsu explains, well, maybe they're becoming a nuisance together. Just separate them.
Yeah. I kind of like Zetsu just hiding in her sleeve the whole time.
Yeah.
Because that's what children do.
So she portals out Sasuke into a desert world. Oh my god, this is how Chad and Orihime got out of...
It's certainly the same effect. Same shape.
Same effect, that she's putting him in a desert, which we have to assume is the same Bleach desert.
Yeah. An endless desert going off to the horizon.
So, like, the side effect of pulling out Sasuke was also pulling out Orihime and Chad.
I'd buy it.
Yeah, sure, why not? She's going to different dimensions, apparently.
Yeah, so, you know, now they're not able to seal her.
Yeah,
was
I mean,
a, you know, surprisingly smart thing for her to do.
I think what's the way this is going to go is that both Naruto and Sasuke are going to fight her split versions at the same time.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
they're going to have, like...
happen to hit at the same time or something?
Or it's going to be, like, it's going to be that page that he always does of they're doing something on one side and they're doing something on another, and it happens to match up perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Could
parallels.
Be. Well, I mean, really, if Naruto and Sasuke had coordinated better around that technique, they could have ended this.
Yeah, they didn't really have any follow-up whatsoever.
Because, like, Naruto just punched her, and if Sasuke had been behind, they could have sealed it right there.
Yeah,
Team 7 is a really shitty team.
Doing with his Rinnegan at the time, like, because he was saying that he would be ready to do this thing with the Rinnegan or something.
But he
like
didn't
that.
Do anything.
Well, I guess his Rinnegan thing was the, well, the Amaterasu?
But he did that first, and then she was, like, reeling. Or absorbing it.
Or something.
Yeah. So yeah, Sasuke screwed everything up. Again.
So basically this chapter was just about that one page, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty
that,
funny.
That page was just kind of amazing. And, Mike, I hate you for pulling that. I'm just gonna say that.
I think, like, that Kaguya expression has actually, like, warmed me up on her design.
Yeah, that was kind of, well, I like her design. It's kind of very old-fashioned.
It's too kabuki traditional for me. Kabuki demon, I guess.
Yeah,
it's
just in general, you mean?
Like, it adheres too close to it without being its own thing.
Yeah, I could kind of see that.
But now she's a bit more humanized, I guess. And
yeah, she can, like, actually make different faces and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a bit different. But yeah, with the giant hair and the horns and stuff, I could see that.
So what, do you think there's going to be some sort of reveal with this dimension thing?
There
I don't
has
know,
to be
maybe
some sort of explanation concerning it.
Yeah. Otherwise, she would have just, like, froze
is,
them or put
no
them in ice or something. Yeah.
I mean, I get the feeling that she could have just, like, killed them by now, but didn't because I don't know.
She wants to
steal their
chakra. Or something like that.
I think she wants to make them into white Zetsus or something.
Yeah, because she needs that army to
something.
Something.
Yeah.
Turn everyone into white Zetsus, question mark, question mark, question mark.
To fight Prophet. The moon demons. The other moon demons.
It's one of those things where it's kind of like, when you become a god, but if in the process you kill everything, then what are you the god of, you know?
We should talk about how quickly to dispose of Midora, because he hasn't even been mentioned since his death.
That's true.
Like, the big bad of the entire series is like, he's
well,
gone.
I mean, because Zetsu explained he was a chump the whole time.
Yeah.
Turns out he wasn't the mastermind of shit.
All right. On to One Piece.
Yep. Which has a new cover arc, and I'm not entirely sure what's going on it.
It looks like someone in, like, one of those boats from Fishman Island, I guess.
Well, yes, but it says, you know, back to my friends. So, is it Jinbei going back, maybe?
I don't think Jinbei would need a boat.
People have been thinking it's Jinbei, but I don't think he would need a boat. So it's like, but he does have the barrel that Caribou was stuck in.
But wasn't Caribou up in that
Right, he's somewhere
island?
Else now. So
fuck yeah. Caribou.
God. At least it's not Caribou. And it sounds like it's going to be focused.
That was my
on
initial thought when I thought, like, oh God, is that Caribou again? Then I realized, no, he can't possibly be.
No, he wouldn't be underwater. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be covering, like, a bunch of different stuff because it's called Short-Term Focus Cover Series? 21 Short-Term Focus Cover Series. Or is that just what the cover arcs are called? And I've never seen it before.
No, that's the title of this cover arc, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So it's going to be focusing on 21 different people?
I guess.
That'd be kind of neat. Just
or maybe it's
in.
The 21st cover arc.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That might be it. But I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
So, the Vice Admiral, whose name I've forgotten?
Bastille,
is telling his people not to fight Sabo because he's a Logia user?
Yeah. It's like, what are you guys doing?
You're not going to shoot him.
Idiots.
He's made of fire.
He's made of fire.
He's not only
but
made of fire, but
he's not used to being made of fire yet.
Well, he also has dragon martial arts.
Yes, he has dragon talons.
They're not his fingers, they're talons.
So have they talked about dragon martial arts before? Because I feel like they have.
No, I don't think so. I'm assuming that this is just him being that way because of Celestial Dragon.
Yeah. I think he, well, presumably he learned this from...
Yeah, I feel like they've mentioned that Dragon has his own sect or subset of martial arts.
I don't know. I don't remember that
I'd
at
buy
all.
It. Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway,
like, I was getting confused.
Bastille swings at him and he, you know, grabs the sword and breaks it.
And
yeah. So basically he was as strong as a Devil Fruit user anyway.
Yeah.
But now he's made of fire.
And he grabs the steel's cool skull mask thing. Yeah.
And says he'll crush his head. And he's as he's about to, he Fujitora's like, huh, I wonder if I can summon a meteor. And then does.
And he says, I wonder if it'll block my meteors. And the answer is kind of, but
it
not
slices
really.
It up and it all comes down anyway.
Yeah.
It lands on people. And the Marines are like, Fujitora, you have to tell us if you're going to do that. He's like, oh, by the way, I did that.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I hope I didn't hurt any citizens. Oh, well.
So, Sabo has Bastille's helmet and crushes it.
Yep.
But he didn't kill Bastille.
Still alive.
Yeah.
Still okay.
He's just a normal-looking guy, I guess.
Yeah.
So, Sabo does a quick explanation of how they're brothers.
That they drank on it and they made an unbreakable bond between the three of them.
And Neo basically says, if he's ever asked for help by Luffy, no matter where in the world he is, he will do everything in his power to come to his aid. And the one thing I'm going to say with this is, don't get me wrong, I like Sabo, but I think we need to talk about how it's kind of disappointing that he is basically turning into Ace 2.0 with the fire. And that also, you know, he's doing this entire speech, and then he didn't show up in the arc when Ace was being executed. So the cynical part of me is going, all right, Oda wanted to have the dramatic impact of killing Ace, but without suffering any of the consequences. So he made another character and shoehorned him in so that he could take Ace's place.
In fairness, he didn't see that Ace was dead until after he died.
Yeah, he didn't
There's
know.
There's no way that he didn't see that he was arrested and, like, the date for execution was set. And
well, I mean, he could have been undercover
just like
or something
Ace
like that.
Ace didn't ask for his help. And just like Luffy said, Ace is off having his own adventure. He's not going to go mess with him just because he gets arrested.
Luffy saw that he was going to get executed, he went to save him. And
he was like close by, and Sabo wasn't and didn't find out until afterwards.
I don't know. It just kind of bugs me that Sabo didn't exist until after Ace died, and now he is Ace.
He's not Ace, though.
When was that arc, the Ace-Sabo?
That was when he
was immediately after the war.
Yeah, like when he was rescued and had gotten his surgery and he was going to get trained, and then it was when he first got to that island where he was going to train.
Was it that late? Because I feel like the Gold Roger revelation, like him being Gold Roger's son, was before he died.
That was earlier, but the whole, like, everything having to do with Sabo was after.
Yeah, that was after. Like, I kind of understand where you're coming from, Greg, but I think Sabo is different enough at this point. Like, mostly because Ace was a much goofier character when he was first introduced.
Well, I mean, there's the entire thing of Ace was supporting Whitebeard, whereas Sabo was supporting Luffy at this point, and that sort of stuff.
Well, Sabo was supporting the world, or the revolutionaries.
Yeah, and I mean, I like the character, but it does kind of bug me how it's basically Oda having his cake and eating it too.
I mean, I don't know, it's one of those things like, you need Sabo there because you can't have Luffy be Batman. Like, he can't be the angel of vengeance for Ace's death.
Yeah.
Even though, like, it would make total sense that he is, it would just ruin his character.
Yeah.
So I think, like, he needed to introduce somebody that could do that, and the only person that makes sense for is Sabo.
But right, to have
Sabo
someone
didn't exist at the time, so he just had to create a new character.
Well, yeah, but he had to create a Batman for Ace's death against the Marines. And, I mean, it didn't really make sense to be anyone but
another brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's fine. I think people like to complain about Sabo a lot, but
I don't have that much of a problem with it. It's just that I feel like this chapter, especially with the fire fruit powers and everything else like that.
He hardly even used the fire fruit, though.
I know, but this is the first fight that he's actually using it.
And he's using his cool dragon talon thing.
Anyway, back to the chapter.
Yeah. So then we don't talk about Sabo for the whole rest of the chapter, even though the chapter is called Sabo versus Admiral Fujitora. But
yeah, him and Fujitora clash.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it cuts off screen.
Yeah.
I wonder if he dies. That would be hilarious.
Getting punched with a hole through his chest.
Yeah. So Uzi, Abdul, Jeet, and Law are still storming through, and they arrive to see that Cavendish is already there.
Yeah. All those other guys got ahead of him.
Yeah.
Because they took a more direct route.
And Uzi went up the mountain while they sort of like cut through the Marines.
Right. Well, they didn't have to go through the Marines because
really
Sabo's there.
But yeah.
So they all decide to go after the bull, and Luffy's like, "No, don't you dare!" And then that guy with the jacket fruit,
yeah,
comes
Remember
in and just does the aura punches.
The guys with the jacket fruit.
Yeah. Right, that's two guys. The brothers, the Funk brothers.
Yeah.
And they help Luffy by punching out the soldiers. And Luffy's like, "What? Who are you?" It's like, "I was in your block. Come on.
And so then, you know, Law goes, "Hey, when are you going to take the cuffs off?"
Luffy's like, "It'll be fine. Hey, don't worry.
It'll work out.
Stuff just works out. It doesn't matter." So the Funk brothers show Luffy a path that will let them in.
Right.
Yeah,
and a secret passage.
So they'd get ahead of everybody else. And, you know, the Abdullah and...
Jeet and Abdullah.
Yeah, they get knocked off of Uzi because they were looking the wrong way and hit their heads.
Looney Tunes style.
And they just fall off.
And then the Denden Mushi that Luffy has rings, and he continues with a running joke of answering the phone by saying that he's going to be the Pirate King.
Even though it's Robin. Who knows?
He's like, "Yes, I know."
And she explains that they have the Law's key, and they're going to get her to him as quickly as possible in the sunflower fields.
Yeah, which is it's established that's two level. That's the next level from where they're at.
Yeah, next level up.
Yeah. So Bartolomeo says, "All right, we'll see you there. So we'll meet up with you there." And Luffy's like, "I told you everything would work out." And Law's like, you don't get credit for that.
That was a coincidence.
Law is a wonderful straight man.
And suddenly they're in water.
And
it's a dead end.
And turn around, and standing at the entrance is Doflamingo.
I didn't see that coming.
Done.
Neither did I. But this is totally not the real Doflamingo.
No, it's another puppet. I guess technically we still don't know what the real Doflamingo looks like. We might not, I guess.
So yeah, I was totally expecting this week to be backstory about Doflamingo's brother.
Same here.
Yeah, same here.
What happened to that?
It was last week. It was the first one back after
for a
the
more dramatic
week.
Moment.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, Law was in the middle of telling that story.
No, because it was right before the break.
Was it?
Yeah, it was right before the break. He was starting to tell that, and then Oda went and had his tonsils out, and then he came back, and I guess he just decided not to do that now.
I guess I didn't think of it because it was like, I was just glad to have One Piece back.
Yeah.
So I thought about it now. Now that I see Doflamingo, I'm like, wait a second. That hasn't come up since then, has it?
Yeah.
No, it has not.
So the jacket guy clearly betrayed them?
Or
he's just an idiot.
Or was being controlled by Doflamingo as a puppet.
Or he just thought it was a secret passage and it wasn't.
He's not in control of your voice.
I'm totally taking that as, oh wait, but he did talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the king told people to get away when he was being controlled by Doflamingo.
Yeah.
I just realized that Tantata called Bartolomeo the chicken human.
Well, I'm assuming if there's a way that Doflamingo can make a string puppet replica of himself, maybe he can make it of other people, too.
I don't know.
I mean, it might actually be Doflamingo. Like, he told people, come for my head at the top of the castle. Why would he be there?
Yeah. That's true.
I'm betting, like, Luffy and... Oh, he set up a good trap for them, too, because now they're above water.
Oh, yeah.
So this
right.
is going to be a fight. They're going to have to, like, escape and, like... Maybe at some point Bartolomeo is going to come down there and try to help?
Could be.
Him sacrificing himself for Luffy.
Or maybe they're just going to get to that flashback next week, since Law and Doflamingo are here now.
Alright, let me finish that story. I'm going to tell you, now everybody's here.
Yeah.
Doflamingo, you know this part, but stay quiet.
I don't want to hear
any of your side. I am the person who needs to explain this to Luffy.
Is this your story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I'm imagining the two of them talking over one another like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia style.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, that's what I think is going to happen next week.
I think they're going to try and escape and like dodge hits until they can get the reinforcements. I don't think somebody's making out of this. Either it's Uzi or Bartolomeo.
No, Uzi.
It's going to be one of them.
Bartolomeo's nowhere near them right now, though.
He's gonna be there though.
One of them
he's
is
on his way over,
gonna
but it's still gonna take some time.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna fall down the well. Because they're in a well.
What's her name? Nikki? Rebecca.
Rebecca?
She can swim. She's like the only one of them that can.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Although Bartolomeo can make a barrier over the water.
Like Jesus?
Yes. And now I'm envisioning there being some point where, like, Bartolomeo makes a barrier for Usopp to walk on over water.
We've already read Bartolomeo fanfiction. I don't feel like we need to add more to it. All right. So,
yes, sadly, no assassination classroom.
Well, yep.
They're only like 20 chapters behind.
Yeah. It does have an amazing cover page, though, like the for the magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a really marketable. I really hope it finds insane success. Because you
mean,
could do
so
it
far. It's been really successful. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's definitely it in those like top 10 manga sales for the year sort of things. It's been up there. So.
I mean, there's been a lot of manga that's been popular and just hasn't, for some reason, breached the anime barrier.
Right, or stuff that like is moderately popular and then eventually just sort of fizzles out, like Beelzebub. Yeah. But this is like legitimately popular. So.
I'm sure Shonen Jump is hoping it catches on too.
Yeah,
yeah. I think the anime will help a lot.
Yeah, I had a friend who's been playing the video game with Kuro-sensei in it.
Oh
the,
yeah,
the Shonen Jump Fighters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, Kuro-sensei is completely broken. Like, by far and away the best character, to the point where, like, online is only Kuro-sensei.
Nobody else will play anybody else.
Yeah. Because, like, he moves at light speed and thus can dodge every attack.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, maybe that's intentional and they're preparing him for greatness. Who knows? All right. I say we wrap.
All right.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
This has been your Friday, June 27th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next week. Do you see the thing that tracked the tweets for a minute that used the word Nazi during the US-Germany game?
Yeah. The one thing that about that graph that I found amusing, sad as that is the there is a giant spike at one point when one of our players was, you know, running in one direction while looking at the ball, which was in a different direction, and ran into the ref. And you know that it was a bunch of people who were, you know, making fun of all of the other ones by saying he did not see that coming.